you're always asking, what does your child say about that? You're like, oh yeah, did I ask her what she thinks about that? It's such an obvious thing, you know.
It is, and yet we forget, yeah, well,
this
right?
Is it. So I think it's good to have that practice and stuff, and when you can repeat some of those tools and stuff to different you start to in yourself start to recognize, oh yes, okay, you know, is this something I have decided is important to me? Yes, I do. Okay, and this, and have I truly asked her about that? Have I totally explained to her what the issue is? Have you know, and I can think about it more holistically.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I host the Your Parenting Mojo podcast. We all want our children to lead fulfilling lives, but it can be so hard to keep up with the latest scientific research on child development and figure out whether and how to incorporate it into our own approach to parenting. Here at Your Parenting Mojo, I do the work for you by critically examining strategies and tools related to parenting and child development that are grounded in scientific research and principles of respectful parenting. If you'd like to be notified when new episodes are released and get a free guide called 13 Reasons Why Your Child Isn't Listening to You and What to Do About Each One, just head on over to yourparentingmojo.com/subscribe. You can also continue the conversation about the show with other listeners in the free Your Parenting Mojo Facebook group. I do hope you'll join us.
Hello and welcome to the Your Parenting Mojo podcast. We're doing something a bit different on today's episode because I'm actually going to interview a listener, Catherine. Catherine is a Canadian living in London and she's married to an English husband and she has a daughter and a son, and I connected with her to talk about the transformation that she's experienced in her parenting over the last 6 months or so. Catherine's family was doing pretty well, although she was having some challenges knowing how to parent her spirited daughter and having a very different approach to doing this than her British husband, who was raised in the traditional British way of not talking about feelings very much, which really contrasted pretty sharply with Catherine's belief that the children's experiences and emotions should be validated and supported. And these different approaches were causing some friction in her marriage, and she felt like she didn't really have the tools to articulate why this issue, and some others like it, were so important to her in a way that could invite her husband to share his perspective and feelings, so they could work together to find a path forward on parenting their children. Now, both Catherine and her husband feel more at ease in their family because they know the decisions they're making are based on their values and not just on knee-jerk reactions made in the moment when their daughter's clamoring to do something they don't really want her to do. And as a result, they've really come to embrace the joyful aspects of parenting. Before we hear from Catherine, I do have a question for you, and that is, are you truly enjoying your family right now? Yes, families have their ups and downs, and not every day is perfect, and neither will it be, but more often than not, do you feel confident about how the little decisions that you make every day as a parent are adding up to and leading toward a goal that you've thoughtfully and purposely established with your parenting partner, if you have one? If you do feel these joyful moments in your family where you feel confidence and clarity and a sense of ease, but they're more few and far between than you would like, then this episode is going to have a lot of nuggets of wisdom for you. I should also explain that Catherine is a member of my Finding Your Parenting Mojo membership group, which is open to new members right now, but only until October 31st, 2019, which is coming up very soon. In the membership, we work on one topic each month, and the first three topics are set before we start. So in the first month, we focus entirely on reducing the incidence of tantrums. And then you get a little bit of breathing room to take a step back and look at setting goals in the second month. And these aren't just template goals that will tell you the right way to raise your child, but they're goals that you set based on your own values and priorities. And in the third month, we have a co-teacher, Dr. Laura Froyen, who literally wrote a doctoral thesis on how marriage and family relationships influence parenting and child development. And she helps us to move beyond the same old arguments about the same old topics that we have over and over again with our partners to a deeper understanding of each other's values. And then we can use those to figure out how to parent our children. After those first 3 months of core content, we choose topics by voting on them, so you actually get to help decide what you learn. I created the membership a year ago after I realized that while a lot of my listeners were on board with the ideas that you hear about on the show, some of you have a really hard time actually implementing them in your real lives with your real families, and you needed more support to do this. So that's what the membership's designed to do, so you can stop worrying about the stack of parenting books that you haven't read, or even the ones that you have and have forgotten about, and actually learn and practice these techniques with my support and the support of all the other parents in the group. I also wanted to let you know that I've been running a workshop called Tame Your Triggers since the beginning of October, which has been helping hundreds of parents to understand why their children's behavior triggers their frustration and anger, and how to cope with this in a more productive way in the future. The workshop's already underway and it's too late to join now, but I'm actually hosting a free webinar on Wednesday, October 30th at 11 a.m. Pacific on the top 5 strategies to tame your triggers that will summarize what we learned over the month and give you some tools to overcome this challenge. There will be a replay available for 24 hours after the event, but I don't want to clutter up everyone's inbox, so I'm only going to send it to people who register. So if you can join us on Wednesday, October 30th at 11 a.m. Pacific, then that's great. But if you already know you're going to need to watch the replay, then go ahead and register anyway, and I'll send you that replay as soon as it's available. You can sign up at yourparentingmojo.com/membership. And we'll have lots of time on the webinar to answer any questions that you might have about this topic. And you can send those to me in advance at jen@yourparentingmojo.com if you'll be watching the replay. Or you can just ask them on the webinar if you'll be there live. So if you'd like to either join the membership or sign up for that free top 5 strategies to tame your triggers webinar, just go to yourparentingmojo.com/membership. All right, I think we're ready. Let's go ahead and meet Catherine. Hello and welcome, Catherine. Would you mind telling us a bit about yourself to start, please?
Yes, my name is Catherine. I have 2 kids. My daughter is nearly 6 and my son is 2.5, and we live with my husband in London. And I'm Canadian originally, but relocated here about 10 years ago, and my husband is British, and so we've decided to stay here.
Nice. Where are you from in Canada?
Most of my time I've lived in Calgary in Western Canada.
Oh, okay. So not quite as cold in the UK as it is in Calgary.
No. People complain about the weather here, but I think it's great. Not very much snow.
Uh-huh. And so I'm guessing that there are probably some challenges involved in being a Canadian living in England.
Yes, I suppose I wasn't expecting there to be much of a culture shock. I suppose you think English-speaking Western country, but I suppose it's not a black and white differences, but just along a continuum, isn't it, I suppose. And so just some of the things, I suppose, you initially notice just day to day in some of the interactions. And then again, when you have kids, you just pick up on things like the humor and the way people converse and things. Just
what do you mean about the humor?
Well, I quite like the English humor. That did actually attract me to here and stuff, but it's a lot more direct, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes.
And people are able to laugh at themselves, I think. So, but yeah, it's just a little bit different. People don't always know how to take my husband, I think, when we come back to Canada sometimes.
Yes, just, I've had that problem
just
myself.
Just because the humor has a slightly different tone to it.
What other differences have you noticed?
I think related to that, I suppose it's just a sense of formality a little bit. Like things like, I think both countries are known for their politeness. But it's just interesting to me that it can look a little bit different in the different places. And I quite enjoyed your podcast where you mentioned about manners and like saying please. Mm-hmm. And that I thought was quite funny, because I had such a complex when I first arrived about saying please, because my husband would say, you haven't said please, and stuff. And you think, it's implied.
We're in a committed relationship, you right?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it in that depth until I did that episode, the fact that you don't necessarily have to say it to somebody when you're in that committed relationship, because it is implied by the fact that you're committed to them. But still, it's nice to hear, right?
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, too, for me, like, it almost sounds like I expect that you will say yes if I say please. Mm-hmm. So I prefer my roundabout way of just ask me. So, yeah, I suppose just the subtleties like that.
So do you see a really sort of solid desire in yourself and your husband to capture the best of both worlds as you're parenting your children, or does one approach more predominate than the other?
Yes, I think for a lot of the smaller things, you know, like there are differences that you just notice, you know. For example, like something as innocuous as the pronunciation, for example. You know, it's just, we have different ways of speaking, and it's kind of fun sometimes to watch the things that they'll pick up from my husband or later from school and others that speak like that, or things that they notice in school that she'll say, my daughter will say yogurt, and that sounds more like me. And so those kinds of things are funny. And then there are some things that I suppose do require a lot more conversation around. For example, I think in the UK, there's a stronger value on like stoicism and emotional stability, I think. So for me, just, I don't know if that's Canadian or in general, or if it's just my own experience and wanting to support emotional expression and emotional awareness and things like that, then that can feel a bit alien for my husband, I think, because, you know, I spent all these years trying to achieve something different and trying not to display certain emotions more openly, negative emotions more openly, then I suppose it can be a bit of an alien concept, and I think I'm trying to change him into a Canadian.
But so it sounds as though that's really important to you. I wonder if you can tell us about what are some of your really strongest beliefs and values, both as an individual and also as a parent.
So I have quite a live and let live kind of philosophy. I am very interested in different perspectives on things and having respect for people who have different needs and different beliefs and interests and personalities, and therefore for my children too, expecting that, you know, they can grow up with not having all the same beliefs that I do, or, you know, that, you know, seeing my children grow into two very different people with two very different personalities. And I believe that's part of the fun, is kind of coming to learn who they are and how best to support them uniquely. And to me, that's very important. You know, that's a fundamental part of respecting your child, I suppose, is to allow them to be who they are and their best self, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so how does that play out on kind of a daily basis for you?
Most of what I've tried to learn about in this journey is more around my daughter, I suppose, specifically, because she by temperament is one that's a lot more sensitive to her environment, I suppose. And it feels like has more specific needs, I suppose. And so it takes a lot more thought for me to try to understand what might be influencing her, or if things aren't quite set up in the best possible way for her to be the least stressful, or to make her be her best. Whereas with my son, you know, it's just a lot more straightforward and things fall into place. So day to day, I suppose I do try to expose myself to a lot of things, to try to work on where our next step is with things we might be tackling with her, and then my son benefits by mm-hmm. experience, I guess.
Yeah. And so for listeners who may be listening thinking, Catherine's voice sounds awfully familiar, if you have listened to the Parenting Your Spirited Child episode, Catherine was actually featured on that episode interviewing Dr. Mary Sheedy Kersinka about her spirited daughter. So this has definitely been a journey for you, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I think coming through a quite difficult time initially, just I suppose that the usual transition to having two kids, it can be a bit of a bumpy ride, especially when one child, or when the older child, is adjusting to it all. But yes, a journey for sure. I think we're well down that road now, which is lovely.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell me, how did you first find the Your Parenting Mojo podcast? Do you remember?
Yes, it was actually quite funny, because I don't remember what page it was, but some page that I've liked on Facebook had just given a list of best podcasts to listen to. I had found it through there and quite taken to it. And it was funny, on one of the interviews then that you had with Dr. Laura Froyen, which I really mm-hmm. loved and had looked her up subsequently. And I realized it was actually her that had authored that list. So I found uh-huh. you through her list, and I found her through you.
Through me, wow.
mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah, and then you actually got to interact with her because you're a member of the Finding Your Parenting Motor membership group, and Dr. Froyen actually teaches the third month of the group on parenting as a team. So I hadn't realized what a full circle that was.
Yes, you complement each other very well.
Nice. So do you remember how you first learned about the membership group?
Yes, I think it was a podcast initially. I think I've subscribed to everything there is to subscribe to, so I've no doubt received the emails about it as well.
And then what made you even consider joining the group? Were you looking to solve a particular problem when you joined, or was there something else?
I think it wasn't a specific. I suppose I've always... I will always have that desire for self-improvement and just better understanding and looking, you know, I suppose there's new challenges all the time. And as my kids get older, and it just, I suppose I have an insatiable desire to learn more about it. And it seemed like an opportunity to go deeper into it. And I suppose I do listen and read a lot of this kind of stuff, but you kind of tend to think about it piecemeal, I find, or for me anyway, that's my personality. Mm. So it kind of, it appealed to me, the idea to kind of sit down and focus on one specific area at a time and do it in a bit of a more methodical way than might be my natural approach, because I certainly benefit from it, but I don't do that naturally.
Okay. And were there other particular areas that were attractive to you in terms of the focus of the group or the way it worked?
I liked the breadth that it and how it laid out the initial few months, and also that it included the component of parenting with a partner, because I think that's an area that does get really neglected. And so when you're looking at a lot of the peaceful parenting things, if there's any mismatch at all, it can create a little bit of anxiety, thinking, oh, we're supposed to be doing this.
United front, yeah, right? Well, we're supposed to have the exact same approach to our children all the time.
That's exactly it. And so, you know, and you can't control your whole environment, can you? So I think that I like that more holistic picture, that, and not just that, but I know from other work you've done as well, to look at the whole environment and what all the influences are and what the cultural influences are and stuff. I really liked your approach. Is so thorough, and and it isn't often like that. So it always feels like when you're going to implement things that there are areas you haven't accounted for. So that's something I've always really appreciated of the different courses and podcasts that I've listened to of yours.
Okay. And so as you were thinking about joining the group, what were you thinking? Did you ever doubt that you didn't need it? Or what were some of the reasons why you thought, this might not be for me?
Yeah, I mean, I had no doubt that I would enjoy participating in it. I suppose with any investment, you know, like I have done a previous course in a peaceful parenting kind of arena, and, you know, all the audiobooks and things like that. I suppose whenever it's a new investment, you think about, am I going overboard? Because, you know, I have invested other time and money into other things. But when it came down to it, it just seemed like a really good opportunity that I wanted to be a part of, and certainly haven't regretted.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I wonder if you ever thought, my situation is just so unique. You know, I'm a Canadian living in the UK. There's nobody else in the group who's going to be exactly like me. There's no way that what they talk about could be relevant. Did that ever cross your mind?
The cultural part, no, only because I love how you blend your British experience and the American experience. And so, and because you've experienced both sides of that, that is something I really like, and I think that's quite unique. I suppose for me, there's always some things you think, oh, are there enough people with, you know, kids who are, say, like of my daughter's temperament, for example, like that's mm-hmm. one area that when you're just talking to people, that can be difficult to relate sometimes when people haven't had those kinds of challenges. You know, that's one area that I wondered about in this context.
And how did you find that it has worked out for you?
I think it's been great, because I think, especially like if you do have a child where things are just not quite as straightforward, you always kind of feel like in the minority, and then, but quite often when that's the case, you have parents who are quite motivated to look for ways to support them. And of course, in the group is no exception. You get other people too who have had similar challenges, or not the, maybe not the same, but you can recognize the pattern, you know, it's of how things just require a bit more thought. And it's been really, just really great to hear the different perspectives and how people have approached different things. And and it's kind of nice, you know, that you can have a mix of people who are at different stages, you know, so some of the areas too, I can recognize, you know, we're, oh, okay, we've been down that road before, you know, and I can look back on how far we've come in the last couple of years. And it's nice to try to be at least a bit of a reassurance or a hope to other people of, you know, what there is to come. And it's nice to hear, you know, other people who you then might be further along in other respects. It's a very supportive environment, I think, and people complement each other very well.
Yeah, I agree. There's some awesome parents in the group. And so what about the cost? Did you ever think, oh, the cost is just too much for what I'm signing up for? And now you're in the group, when you look back at it, how do you feel about the value that you get for...
I do think it's incredible value, actually. You know, like when I first look at it, you know, if I try to compare it to like an audiobook, then you think, oh, that's a lot. But of course, it's so much more than that. Like when I compare it to a course or like... anything like all the resources and the coaching and stuff that I've got, then I mean, it's phenomenal value, you know, it's apples and oranges really as well. Like just how much time obviously goes into preparing the guides and how tailored the questions are and just insightful. And the group calls just are fantastic, because also it draws from a pool of people who just are really good at asking questions as well, and things that are phrasing it. Yeah, like, it's amazing actually, because you know, something you think, yes, I've been wondering that for so long and I have never formulated that as a question, and it's and then that mixed with then, you know, how you bring together the research on that topic, and I also really like too how tailored you can make it to individual people. So it's not just here's the one best way, you know, it's this is what the research is, this is where the limitations of the research are, you know, and looking at what people's specific goals are and whether or not that's important for that person, which, you know, often people don't look at it that way. And I think that's been really incredible, really.
And so as you kind of made the decision to sign up, what was, you know, you thought about the cost, you thought about the time and the situation, and what was your thought process in terms of ultimately, yes, this is the thing I want to do?
I think, well, for me, I was really excited to sign up at that time. You know, it was something new that was being built as well, and it felt like a really great opportunity to join. And yeah, just it was good timing too, with coming up to Christmas, I think it was, and you think, oh yeah, we can work this in, that this will be our Christmas present to ourselves to join up, or for me, I guess, depending how you want to look at it. But
yeah. And so can you tell us about what kind of transformation you've experienced in your family since you joined the group?
I feel like I can articulate a lot better what I'm trying to do, and I can keep track of where I want to be a lot better, because I think we were coming from a fairly good place at that stage. But you know, there's always niggling things that you think, oh, I'm just kind of ignoring this particular issue, or you know, or partly because you can't exactly identify where you sit on a particular issue. And I think that's been really great to kind of really take stock of what your values are, what your goals are, and what exactly you're doing, and to see how far it may or may not be aligned to what you're trying to do. And so that, you know, if you need to have those conversations as a partnership too, that makes that so much easier when you can identify exactly what it is that might be troubling you.
Rather than having the same old fight over and over again about whatever seems to have triggered the issue, you can actually get to the root of it, right?
Yeah, because you can both understand each other, you know, because you're not just talking about what's on the surface. You're like, when you're coming from what goals you're trying to get at, it makes it a lot more meaningful. Mm-hmm. So that's been really helpful. And even just like little heuristics, I suppose, I would say, you know, like with limit setting, I don't feel like it was a particular issue per se, but just the way that month was laid out was really good, that in the moment it makes it easy to say, oh yeah, I can tell that this is something that I am just ignoring and I'm not putting my foot down right now and I need to be, or this actually really isn't an issue, you know, that I can be letting this slide. And even though, you know, on the surface of it, that's what I would have been doing before, it has made it a lot more clear in my head. And actually, mm-hmm. We can kind of focus on the fun a little bit more, where, you know, you think, no, I'm letting this go. And, you know, that's really, and there have definitely been things in that time that just I would have thought would be crazy before, you know, posted.
Oh, I'm thinking specifically of that picture you posted of your daughter lying, what was it, a pile of packing peanuts or something?
Yeah, we'd built a wardrobe and it was all the styrofoam bits that were just falling apart, and thought, you know what, uh-huh. I'm not going to make an issue of this. And we broke it all into a million pieces and made a snowstorm in the house, and it was actually really fun time. And my daughter spent a good hour and a half solidly hoovering it up and putting bits in bags, and I've never seen her tidy up so passionately, so it definitely earned some goodwill. And, you know, like we still I don't know, that was a couple months ago I think, and still talk about it all the time. Is, you know, really nice memory. And you think, you know, that is something I can directly point to a decision to de-escalate, or, you know, to not be setting a limit on, and, you know, feel so much better for that.
Yeah, it's really powerful to know that when you're setting limits, you're doing it based on your values and not just based on, you know, whatever knee-jerk reaction that you feel like having at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you're saying that you're still telling stories about this 2 months later, I mean, that tells me this is going to be something that is going to be a family story for your family for a very long time. And when she is raising her own children, if she decides to have children, she's going to look back on that and think, this is the kind of parent I want to be.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, such a powerful moment coming out of, you know, learning about your values, a really powerful moment that in the minute it probably seemed like you knew you were going to have to clean up a massive mess.
Yes.
But the payoff was going to be worth it, and lo and behold, it has been.
Yes, definitely.
So, that's great. What about solving problems in your family? Have you had any shift in how you approach issues that, you know, perhaps with your children or your husband, whichever you feel like talking about, the ways in which you approach that?
Yes, I think that actually was one area that I really hope to improve on this course that I didn't mention before. But I think when I first heard about a problem-solving approach in a couple places, I think in like the How to Talk So Little Kids Can Listen, and probably other places as well, you know, I really liked that concept. And when it was just my daughter and we was younger, I remember like that was intuitive, you know, in terms of finding, okay, she only wants to wear dresses. What is it about these dresses? And, oh, it has to swish nicely, and it has to have what she calls a dancey part. And we, like, I could work with her to figure out what all that actually meant. And I quite enjoyed that. But when we moved to the kind of the next level of, you know, balancing people who are not trying to achieve the same goal as we were, but actually have conflicting goals, such as you do with two kids, that really is a different skill for me. And to be able to work collaboratively like that, you know, as an introvert, I like to take on the problem and solve it entirely myself if I can, or take the input and I'll solve it for you. You know, yes. And there comes a point where that's not helpful anymore. And so mm-hmm. because I think there are things you can read and hear and tweak what you're doing, and that's great. But when you're talking about totally new skills, I think you kind of have to go a bit beyond just reading about it, and you have to actually practice it and get a bit of support from that. And that is something that the group has been really helpful for me, to try to move forward in that. And it's quite exciting, actually, because recently I've seen my daughter kind of really taking to this more in terms of how I talk to my two children, and then say, like, our neighbor who plays with them. She's generating more solutions now when, you know, instead of just I want to do this and he wants to do this and it's a stalemate, you know, that she's actually mm-hmm. proposing, okay, well, you can sit there and you like this, so you can do this and we'll mix these like this. And you think, oh, wow, this is starting to fall into place now.
And it really is getting a little bit easier.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, like she's got big emotions. She's a wear her heart on her sleeve kind of girl. If she doesn't want to do something, you know about it. So it's really nice to hear her starting to think about what it is that other people might be objecting to and how she can work that into a solution and proposing her own ideas, because this is something that I'd been reading about that kids can do and thinking, okay, let's have some more of that, please. And I'm now feeling like we're starting to be able to get there with some of the practice and just how to facilitate that, and that really I'm happy about.
Yeah, and so you say you're happy about it. I'm wondering how else you're feeling about this. Is this sort of something that has gradually come over time, or is it something that you see sort of a shift happen and then another shift happen? Or how do these feelings come, and can you tell us some more about that?
I think there's always kind of been a feeling of gradual progress. Like every month, a new topic, you know, there's been new insights, and, you know, some months more than others, just because, or I suppose some months might be more similar to what you're doing, but you can still find new things to tweak. And then other months, that, you know, there'll be like something quite profound, and a big jump when you suddenly see, like I've been saying about my daughters with the problem solving, it that has felt like actually kind of a jump in the last little while. And that really is exciting. You know, like when you've been working on something for a really long time, when your child just suddenly advances in an area, that's always exciting, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And so I'm wondering how that compares to what you think might have happened if you hadn't joined the group. I mean, not that the group is everything, but that, you know, things were heading on a bit of a different path before you joined the group. Can you contrast maybe how things might have been different?
I think things have a much more hopeful and positive vibe, you know. Like I think it's easier to get back on course. Like I suppose you always have phases, like ages come and go, don't they? You know, it gets a bit more difficult, and then they get to an mm-hmm. easier age, and then difficult again. You know, it's always peaks and troughs, I suppose. But it's easier to weather the difficult moments now. Yeah, because it's easier to recenter yourself, I think. And I feel like we made a lot more progress, specifically with some of that problem solving stuff. I don't think I would have had the kind of continued focus on it. And I like to, like when you've been addressing problems that come up in the group, and you start to become familiar with process, you know, when you're always asking, what does your child say about that? You're like, oh yeah, did I ask her what she thinks about that? It's such an obvious thing, you know.
It is, and yet we forget. Yeah, well,
this
right?
is it. So I think it's good to have that practice and stuff, and when you can repeat some of those tools and stuff to different problems, you start to in yourself start to recognize, oh yes, okay, you know, is this something I have decided is important to me? Yes, I do. Okay, and this, and have I truly asked her about it? Have I totally explained to her what the issue is? And I can think about it more holistically, I think. And even though I always try to do that, I'm doing that better now, definitely. And I'm thinking about more, and I'm able to hold myself accountable a little bit more, because I know, you know, whether or not I really have given that enough conversation with my child.
So it sounds more exciting, more fun.
Yes.
Maybe more collaborative with your partner.
Yes, I think so. And it's there are really good tools within in the month about relationships with your parenting partner and stuff, and just the communication. You know, that is a really helpful month. I did really appreciate that. And specifically, you know, as I had said in the UK, from coming at it for specifically the emotional regulation thing, that we had very useful conversations about as a result of both that, using that month, but also the content about emotional regulation and being able to talk about how, you know, that might have impacted each of us individually growing up in these two different cultures, and, you know, what each of our reservations are about that. Because, you know, there are both valid things to that. You know, I think we both want our children to feel supported and loved, and also we both want our children to be good people who are respectful of other people's emotions too, and what their impact is on other people. So, you know, I don't think those are mutually exclusive values. It's just we've come at it from different angles, and so to be able to have those conversations more productively really has been useful.
Yeah, and figure out a path forward based on your shared values.
Yes, instead of just reaching a stalemate.
Yes. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
I don't know. I just think that I really feel grateful to have had this opportunity. And, you know, if I could go back in time, I would tell myself not to worry about even hesitating and just sign up. I truly think that there is great value to anybody who has children in this age range. It's, you know, whether a person is, you know, really in a difficult time. I can think, you know, it didn't exist when my son was first born, but that would have had great value in a very specific way in that time to kind of manage that time. But now, having gone past that, there's just huge amount of additional value once I have the space and to think about some of the other issues more deeply and make sure that we're on track now that they're getting older and towards some of these other goals. And it's just amazing membership group.
Thank you so much for sharing your time with us, Catherine. I'm really grateful that you can share your advice and your wisdom and your thoughts on how this is helping.
Oh, happy to. And thank you so much for everything that you do.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that an inspiring conversation? It was such an honor for me to learn, really for the first time, about the impact that the group has had on Catherine's family. I mean, I knew bits and pieces of the story through what she shared in the Facebook community, but I'd never really heard the totality of it. It makes me so grateful to be able to do this work where I can share this parenting journey with so many parents who are getting real and getting vulnerable about how we want to raise our children, and who are learning new ways to take your ideas and dreams about what our families can be like, what kinds of children we want to raise, and turn these into reality. So just as a reminder, if you'd like to join Catherine and all the other amazing parents in the Finding Your Parenting Mojo membership, you can learn more about it and even sign up at yourparentingmojo.com/membership. The membership's only open until October 31st, 2019, because after that we start working through our first topic as a group, so time is tight on that front. And while you're there at yourparentingmojo.com/membership, go ahead and sign up for the free webinar on the top 5 strategies to tame your triggers, which will be on October 30th, so just the day before, at 11 a.m. Pacific.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Your Parenting Mojo. Don't forget to subscribe to the show at yourparentingmojo.com to receive new episode notifications and the free guide to 13 reasons your child isn't listening to you and what to do about each one. And also join the Your Parenting Mojo Facebook group. For more respectful, research-based ideas to help kids thrive and make parenting easier for you, I'll see you next time on Your Parenting Mojo.